On this episode, can googly eyes scare off seagulls? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Every summer, just when you think it's safe to go down by the sea, to get a bag of chips, they emerge. They swoop down, targeting your food, targeting your children, dive-bombing respectable society, flocking to stare menacingly at lunch. Oh, won't someone stop the seagulls of Ireland? Well, we've had a long-standing feud with seagulls in this country, as we know, and now someone thinks they have a way to stop them. But let's first remind ourselves of the menace. Famously, former Senator Ned O'Sullivan once said, "Seagulls in this country have lost the run of themselves." Dennis O'Donovan went a step further in the Shannon more than 10 years ago now.
No lesser person than the Prime Minister of Great Britain, our neighbours, David Cameron, actually has come out publicly to record his concern and his concern and his worry about the way the seagulls are behaving. Now, he came out with the remarks because a tortoise was killed and a child's pet, a terrier, was killed recently. And if we look at the situation here, the facts, I think, are that the supply, normal supply for the seagull is fish in the sea. That product is getting scarce, whether we like it or not. It's probably one third of what it was 30, 40 years ago. And seagulls actually have killed lambs, they've killed rabbits, and I think it is coming to a stage where they're actually endangering society. Their behaviour is coming to the stage where, to be realistic in this now, is that it's like a rabbit with myxomatosis or a cow with mad cow disease.
For the least,
seagulls, I'm asking for a debate on this very important issue. Seagulls are actually becoming a nuisance and a pest. And I think it's important that we should consider Senator O'Sullivan's request last year that maybe we should look at a call on this vicious seabird, which is against their grain. They were normally living out to sea, they nest in the cliffs, but they're now invading the top
Senator
of the villages.
O'Donovan, there's one looking in the window.
So it's important. It's important.
Look out, all right?
I think
Senator Hayden.
No, this is a very serious issue because when you see a child eating a fish and chips and the seagull attacks the food that that child is having, I would ask that maybe you would consider it in the next term to have a debate on this issue.
So what can we do about it? Well, I'm joined by Laura Kelly, Associate Professor at the Centre of Ecology and Conservation at the University of Exeter. Laura, you've made some interesting findings. Tell us about your research.
Yep. So I'm based down in Cornwall, where we have lots of herring gulls on our beaches. We've got other species of gull as well, but herring gulls are the most common ones. And as you mentioned, there's quite a lot of conflict between people and the gulls. Gulls are moving into urban areas, so they are making use of what we provide, so things like food and shelter from predators. And so the research in my group is really interested in trying to find non-lethal ways to mitigate these conflicts that occur. And so we had a study about 5 years ago where we showed that if you stare at a gull, it's less likely to approach your food compared to if you're looking away. And so this gave us the idea that gulls are sensitive to eyes and gaze direction. And so this study came about from that. In essence, we were thinking, well, what if we take those eyes off someone's face and put them on something like a takeaway box? Would that then deter the gulls from approaching that food?
And what did you find?
We found that it did work. So gulls were far less likely to approach takeaway boxes that had eyes on versus ones that didn't have eyes on. They were slower to approach, much less likely to peck. And then if we gave one gull the same box multiple times, so we give them the opportunity to learn that eyes aren't necessarily going to be scary or a threat to them. We found a really interesting result in that half of the gulls learnt quite quickly that the eyes weren't scary and just went up and approached the box and pecked at it, whereas half the gulls just never went near the box. And so this was three presentations over 15 minutes, and they just never went near the box at all. So this kind of suggests that there might be some individual variation in how gulls respond to eyes. So some find them quite scary and some just really aren't bothered at all once they've had a chance to have a good look at them.
Okay, I was going to ask you, does that mean some gulls are smarter than others?
Possibly some are more investigative, I would say. So they're really curious birds. They're really interested in things. They're quite tenacious as well. So I think that there's just quite a lot of individual variation in how they respond to things in general. And we see this across a lot of animals that, you know, see in humans as well, right? Not all humans are the same, and it's the same for animals as well.
Mm. So tell us, just bring us how exactly you did it. So you said over 15 minutes. Were you on a promenade somewhere? Was this in a lab? You know, where did you do it? What were the conditions that you got the individual gulls to respond?
We tested across a load of towns across Cornwall. And so what we did for the experiment is we tempted a gull down onto the ground by throwing it a few pieces of bread. Once it was on the ground, we put the box in front of it and watched what it did for 5 minutes. And then if it didn't approach, then we took the box away, gave it a few minutes, kept an eye on the gull, tempted it back down again and presented it again. But these are all happening in urban areas, these experiments. So we're trying to test the gulls that are more likely to come into conflict with people by, you know, stealing food and rifling through bins and all that kind of stuff.
And were the boxes open? Could they see the chips, or was it a closed box with googly eyes looking at them?
It was a closed box. The reason that we did that is because often that's how people are carrying their food around as well. And we more wanted to test the effect of eyes. But these takeaway boxes use loads locally as well by local food vendors. So the chances are that most of the gulls will have had experience of these boxes and associated them with food already.
Right. They've seen them before. They know there's something good. There's something shiny inside here for me.
Definitely. Yes.
And would this work for... So, I mean... To extrapolate it out then, do you think it is worth doing? Did you chat to any businesses maybe about whether this would be a good thing for them to do if they're, I suppose, maybe for them actually, maybe if the business, they want the gulls to steal them because then people have to come back and buy more chips?
This is the plan for this summer. So we've spoken to a couple of food vendors locally, and the plan is to try different kinds of eyes on boxes as well, because if gulls get used to one set of eyes, then maybe they find them less scary. So we might try different sizes of eyes, different colours of eyes. We might also try posters of eyes on walls as well, because there's some really nice studies in humans showing that we're far more honest and we're less likely to steal things or things like that if there's a pair of eyes watching us. And so we want to test if it's the same for the gulls as well.
Wow. So if you think Big Brother is watching you, even if it's just a pair of eyes somewhere, people are less likely to rob a bike or whatever it is.
Yep, there's some really nice set of studies from a group in Newcastle that have shown even just a pair of eyes just watching is enough to deter people from stealing bikes. If you have honesty boxes for like tea and coffee at work, people are more likely to donate to those and also to give to charity as well. If there's a pair of eyes above a charity box, people are more likely to give more money. And that's because we're a social species, I think, and we're always aware of that feeling of being watched and judged. Perhaps it might not be the same for animals, but for us at least, that's probably the mechanism.
Yeah, you have me thinking about the bottled water honesty box at Dublin Airport, and I must notice next time I'm flying through whether there's a pair of eyes watching you, because apparently that works quite well. So talk us about eyes then in general, because say for dogs, don't they say that it's aggression? If you were looking into your dog's eyes, even lovingly, sometimes they can see that as a, you know, a challenge to them. Is that how it works in terms of the deterrent, or like you say, are different species tuned to see eyes differently?
Lots of animals pay attention to eyes, and that's because they can be used for social contexts. So in your dog example, within species, they can use eyes to communicate, but also it can represent threat as well. So lots of predators have pairs of forward-facing eyes. So it really makes sense if you're an animal to pay attention to eyes, because eyes are generally quite important because they're associated with another animal and you probably need to pay attention to it. And so eyes are probably used a bit differently throughout the animal kingdom. So we see things like lots of moths and butterflies have evolved eye-like markings on their wings, and we think that might be to try and scare off predators because they might see those eyes as a pair of threatening eyes. In jackdaws, for example, if you put eyes inside their nest boxes, then a competitor is less likely to move into that nest box because it thinks it's already taken. And in some animals, like scrub jays, for example, if they get the feeling that they're being watched while they're hiding their food, then they'll go and move it somewhere else because they're worried that there's a competitor. So there's all kinds of different reasons why animals might pay attention to eyes. And this is kind of what this experiment is exploiting, really, is that eyes are important in general.
And there was one you cited, I think it was in your piece on The Conversation, but you, in fairness, you've been quoted fairly widely because of this research, about cows and painting eyes on their bums.
I love this study so much. So in Botswana, cattle are subject to quite a lot of predation by lions and leopards. And so in the study, they took a bunch of cows and they painted eye-like markings on the rumps of some of them. On some more cows, they painted just a black cross, and some they just left plain. And then they returned these cows to the farmers. They just did their normal cow things. And then they looked at the predation rates of these cows by lions and leopards. And they found that the attack rate on the cattle with eyes, well, basically there were no attacks on cattle with eyes versus some attacks on cattle without the markings, and fewer attacks as well, actually with the crosses as well. So this kind of suggests that eyes might also be effective in these kind of more unusual circumstances that we might not think that they would work.
Yeah, it's remarkable actually that, isn't it? That you even an apex predator, I suppose, sees an eye and thinks, oh, maybe not. Maybe I'll just shy away and go for another cow.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the crosses also reduced predation as well could be that maybe it's just something novel on a cow that maybe made the predators think twice. But it's quite a small sample size because there's not a huge number of attacks from these kinds of predators. So it's a bit hard to kind of disentangle what the underlying mechanism is. But the fact that no cattle with eyes on their rumps were attacked is, I think, quite striking.
So do you think this would work with things other than food then for seagulls? Because, for example, in Dublin, one of the big problems is particularly on our one of our main thoroughfares on Grafton Street. There's no big bins. They leave their plastic bags full of bins out of the shops. And sure enough, in the morning, they've come, they've been ripped apart by seagulls and there's stuff everywhere.
We have exactly the same problem in Cornwall as well. I think possibly any deterrent that we use has to be multi-component. So we can't just use one thing. So, for example, with the eyes, only half of the gulls were deterred by it. So that suggests we might need to pair it with something like maybe an acoustic deterrent. So we've found that shouting at gulls can help scare them off. So maybe pairing it with a scary sound might help as well. So we would hope that it would work in other contexts, but we haven't specifically tried it yet.
I can just give me an image of coming down one of these streets at 3 a.m. after a few drinks and suddenly seeing pairs of eyes and something shouting at you. I think it would scare off more than gulls.
Exactly.
So where next then for your research into this? Because it's a big problem everywhere, particularly in Ireland and the UK, coming into the summer now. Like, is this a genuine deterrent, or do you think it's going to just maybe keep some of them away some of the time and maybe make it a little more likely that you're going to be able to enjoy your chips in peace?
I don't think we've solved all of human gull conflict by any means. So I think hopefully putting eyes on things might help deter some gulls at least. So maybe some people on the beach will get to keep their ice cream this summer, which would be a really nice thing, or their fish and chips. So as I mentioned, we would like to test eyes in the wild, if you like, with on takeaway boxes. We're also looking at acoustic deterrents as well. So looking at what kind of sounds might scare them off. So things like alarm calls of gulls and people shouting, and seeing if maybe pairing these things together might help capture all of the gulls rather than just some of the gulls in terms of trying to deter them away from particular areas. But I think some of the problem is that they're just really curious birds, and they're always really interested in everything, and they're smart as well. So I suspect anything we do might only last for a limited time. And so we probably have to keep trying to develop new ways to try and keep them away from areas.
Are they easily intimidated? Because I've often found when a gull is scaring at you, people are almost more scared of the gull, even though we're obviously, most of us, naturally much bigger. But there's something, I don't know, something threatening maybe about them.
They're quite big birds and they can be quite bold. So in urban areas, they are much slower to fly away if you approach them compared to gulls in more rural areas where they maybe have less experience with people. And there's probably quite a lot of variation in terms of individuals' experience in terms of gulls. So some individuals are probably bolder than others. Some are quite shy, I think, but some are probably quite bold and happy to wander in. I mean, you've probably seen the videos of gulls walking into shops and things and walking out with a packet of crisps or something. And that's probably quite a bold individual, but it's those ones that obviously get the media attention. And that's very much not all gulls, and they don't all behave in that way.
It's just like humans, you can get a bit of a thug gull as well as a thug human coming in and stealing from the shop.
Exactly. In St. Ives, they call them Asbo gulls, the ones that dive bomb and take people's ice creams from them.
We'll have to remember that one. Well, listen, we will keep an eye, pardon the pun, on your research as it continues. Laura, it was great to chat to you. Really appreciate it. And yeah, best of luck keeping your fish and chips and ice cream over the summer.
Thank you very much.
Laura Kelly there from the University of Exeter. Now, 98FM's Brendan O'Loughlin actually took to Grafton Street to check out whether or not this works.
I am holding a sausage McMuffin with two googly eyes on it. There is reason to this nonsense, and that is to deter seagulls from eating your lunch. You should stick googly eyes on your food and it'll frighten them off.
So
I see them
very
circling
committed.
Ahead.
They're circling.
Above us.
Okay.
They are circling. That's a very big one. Mmm, delicious lunch / muffin.
Did the googly eye scare you away?
That seagull went in for that muffin and he went eye to eye and it scared him off.
He's going to try again. Here we go. Are the eyes going to scare?
It works! He goes for the muffin and when he sees the eyes, he freaks out.
It's working.
That's the third time they've come down to eat it and the third time they've looked at him in the eyes and then gone away. It works!
The googly eyes, if you stick them on your food, you will
if
not...
If you stick googly eyes on your food,
be attacked
the seagulls
by a
will
seagull.
Not attack you.
Wow.
It's proof.
There you go. A skeptic converted outside McDonald's. Maybe we finally have found a way to save our chips. That's it for this episode. Don't forget to share it far and wide and subscribe to Let Me Explain, and I will chat to you soon.